Hi, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Serdikoff-Romola, a fellow dietitian and the owner of Empowering Dietitians, a supervision business devoted to working with dietitians just like you, who are tired of the status quo of our profession and ready to reclaim their confidence, passion, and purpose. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Julia Zekshevsky, a freelance dietitian who has created a business dedicated to helping other dietitians create a freelance career for themselves. Listen in to learn more about what Julia does, how she herself transitioned from a quote-unquote coveted RD job into freelancing, what the heck freelancing even is in the first place, and what she has learned in her time since leaving a steady, conventional RD job. All right, welcome to the show, Julia.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to chat. You're big into freelancing, I know, which we're going to get into. And that is something that I've always been very interested in. And I think that it's a really cool opportunity for dietitians. So I'm really excited to dive in and hear a little bit more. But first, how about we go over a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, sure. So I am a Canadian gal in Southern Ontario. I got my license about almost 4 years ago now. And I was very lucky. I had a bunch of connections in primary care. And actually, I got my first full-time job right when I graduated in a primary care setting. And I'll never forget the day I got that job. I was 50% over the moon, so happy. And then 50%, I'll be totally honest, a little bit torn up about it because I had told myself, Jules, when you graduate, don't work in primary care. Like, you don't like counseling people for 40 hours a week. And then I didn't listen to myself and I worked the job anyway.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you saying that first, the acknowledgement that like, it's okay to be grateful for an opportunity and also realize when that voice inside is saying, this isn't right. And yeah. I also really appreciate you saying, I'm a dietitian who doesn't really want to work in direct client care, like counseling roles in that capacity, because I think that's the big push right now. And it's always refreshing to hear from someone who's like, no, I want to do something a little bit different.
Yeah. So against my better judgment, you know, at the end of the day, I really just had to be logical about it because the opportunity was phenomenal and right beside my house and just a lot of wins. So I'm like, you know what, like, let's just do it. It's not that I'm complaining or anything, but you know, I muted my voices and I went with it. And then now 3.5 years into the role, I just decided, you know what? I gave it a shot. I can't say that I didn't try it. And this isn't for me. It's not how I feel energized at the end of the day. I think I could do it maybe on a part-time capacity eventually, but my personality, like I just don't enjoy being on for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Like it was just too much.
Yeah.
And then I found freelancing and I fell in love with it. I really love doing project-based work, which is what freelancing typically offers, especially the way I practice it. I'm involved in different writing projects. I'm also freelancing different cooking skills and live demos. So when the regulations ease up in Ontario for COVID, sure, that will be starting out. And it's just fun. Like I like a challenge. I like a blank canvas. I realized that no job would necessarily fulfill me. So maybe I just need to make my own. Amazing. And that's how I landed on freelancing. And so that's where I am now. I've created my business. I do freelance writing. And then I also have my freelance dietitian vein where I educate RDs on how they can approach freelancing. And I try to do a wide spectrum, not just writing. So we talk about, you know, more tech oriented stuff like YouTube editing and website design and all that good stuff. So just to broaden the net a little bit, because sometimes people just don't want to be writers. And I think a lot of RDs are freelance writers.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And I want to back up a little bit. I want to dig into kind of what freelancing is and what it isn't in a second, sure, because I think that we use that term a lot, but maybe we aren't all super clear on like what exactly freelancing is and what it offers for us as dietitians. But first, I want to go back to the transition itself, because that's a pretty big move. And I know that there are a lot of dietitians out there who aren't happy in the job that they're in. And maybe they're saying something similar of like, well, this is a quote unquote good job, or I quote unquote should be grateful for this. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to come to the decision to finally listen to that voice inside and to decide to leave?
Yeah, it was hell. I hope I can swear lightly podcast. It was hell. It was a year of just going back and forth, lots of internal dialogue. Just pretty much at the end of the day, I had a lot of support from family members to just move on. It was myself holding me back, just like different dialogues that even now I'm still a little bit traumatized that I'm not fully ready to share it publicly yet.
Absolutely.
But I definitely slipped into a depression and I didn't even know it happened. You know, I didn't even catch those signs. And then I just was like, oh my gosh, like this was my dialogue. I was like, I'm too young to be this miserable in my career. Like, this can't be what being a dietitian is all about. I see so many modern day RDs pivoting roles, and I just had to take daily baby steps. And I also, like, that was huge, just with very little expectation of myself to, I hate the word succeed or fail. For me, that's like a lot of pressure. So just daily to-do lists. And then also, because I was in a depressive mode, my internal dialogue was pretty negative and not very exciting. So I just had to go and listen and immerse myself with people who were exciting and who were in a more positive mindset. And I just had to believe, like, a fake it till you make it mentality. And it worked. And it just, I'm like, oh yeah, like, okay, like, this can be done. Like, people can leave their cushy government careers and still be successful. Like, it can be done. So that was huge for helping me mentally prepare. And then it took a full year before I decided to hand in my notice, even though I knew that I should be handing in my notice now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm wondering, this, it sounds like this was happening while the pandemic was happening as well. Were they kind of at the simultaneous? So then we have the added layer, of course, of the extra stress that the pandemic adds and the extra mental toll that that takes to also be dealing with such a big change and all of that uncertainty. I'm sure it can feel overwhelming.
Because I was very lucky, worked remotely as soon as it was declared pandemic. And it was a forced space between me and the office. And it really gave me an opportunity to reflect, which I would have never had. Yeah. Like, who gets a year and a half at home? right. So I really tried to spin it into a positive and reflect on it. And it really made me realize, like, oh my God, I'm so much happier here. I'm so much healthier. And I could just really, like, just like surrender to what I really wanted that I'd kind of been holding myself back from.
Yeah. I think that, a lot of people are in that place right now where they're realizing what's important to them and they're realizing how short and unpredictable life is. And we're being given opportunities. If we are able to work from home, maybe that lights a like aha moment for us of, oh wait, this feels so much better or so much more aligned, or we're just having these like light bulb moments of understanding what we want out of life.
Totally. Absolutely. The rat race. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5. We need 9-to-5s and some people thrive in that structure and it's excellent. But there's just certain people who are cut from a different cloth. And it's just like, you know what? I'm willing to be a little bit riskier to get what I want, to feel more fulfilled. Like, for me, that is rewarding. For someone else, that might be super anxiety provoking. And they're just like, hell no.
I feel like I might be somewhere in between, because I definitely crave not having that like rigidity. I like being able to mix things up a little bit, but I am also so anxiety prone. So of course there are times where that doubt comes in, or I think to myself, like, well, maybe I should have a steady job. And then I like realize all of the benefits that I get and the fulfillment that I get from what I'm doing, and I get myself back on track. So I feel like I'm somewhere in between those two extremes.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Now, I know that when I was getting ready to leave my like cushy job and go off and do this full time, there was some self-doubt that came in. And I know you mentioned that there were some things that you didn't want to unpack, and that's totally cool. Let me know. But if you feel comfortable, I'm wondering if you experienced any of that too, of saying like, maybe I should stay where it's safe. Maybe this isn't the right thing, and starting to like backtrack on that decision.
Oh my gosh, all the time. Just constant waffling. And you know what? And that is more exhausting than actually quitting your job and doing the work to build up your entrepreneurship. It's that emotional labor and mental labor you invest beforehand where you're just like, ugh. Yes. And also, I just, what was I going to say here? And so dealing with that, of course, there is like pension, like those really practical parts of a full-time job, the pension, the benefits, all of the stuff that appeals aside from the regular paycheck. And I just told myself, you know what, people create their own entrepreneurs or become entrepreneurs every single day. Like it can obviously be done. They have healthcare, like they're fine. Mm-hmm. People do it every day. Like I find comfort in knowing that I am not necessarily pioneering the entire way of entrepreneurship.
Yes.
So whenever I start to feel that thoughts are too big for my brain and I kind of spiral, I just say, no, Jules, like people have done this. There are guidelines, like you're okay.
Yes.
And that really grounds me to just come back down to be like, okay, no, everything is cool. Keep moving forward. Don't doubt yourself. Just go for it.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I appreciate you sharing that too, because I think that time between the day that we're like, no, I'm going to quit, and then actually giving notice can be one of the hardest times.
Yes. It was the hardest time of my life.
Yeah. And then we can also run into a sticky situation depending on how much notice you give. I gave too much. And the time between you give notice and then you leave is also a pretty uncomfortable time. So it's not an easy process to go through. It's not necessarily even liberating until you get to that last day and you're like, okay, like I'm actually, this is real.
Yes, for sure. I'll never forget the day of, because I was hoping my boss, I would just have more interaction with him because I was going into clinic one day a week at that point. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there. And I'm like, oh my God, today is the day. Like it just has to be today. Otherwise I'll let myself off the hook. And he wasn't there. So I had to email him, which I obviously wasn't my first choice, but that's the reality of the world we're living in. And I literally, it took me like 6 hours to send this email. And then I sent it and I just wanted to cry. I wanted to throw up. It was like visceral. I was just like, what have instant regret in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then I just had to go through it. You know, I'm a Cancer horoscope, so I'm emotional and I just had to cry it out. And then afterwards, I wouldn't say I felt better. And it was like a cathartic release. And I was just like, okay, it's done. The hardest thing is done. Mm-hmm. It's like breaking up with a boyfriend where or with any partner where you've been with them for way too long, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You rip it off and you're like, oh, it's so much better now.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I was in my position for 7 years, I believe. Yeah,
like almost a decade.
Yeah, that was hard. It was my first job as a dietitian. That's like how I became a dietitian. So there's a lot of emotions that go into it and it feels uncomfortable. And it usually doesn't go exactly as we planned it to. We like play it out in our head and we're like, all right, I'm ready. And then you go and do it and either they're not there or the words just like word vomit out of your mouth instead of how you like eloquently decided. And ultimately at the end of the day, like you get through it, you feel your feels and it's done.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. There was definitely a lot of fear on how others would perceive me. I would say that was a big barrier. I didn't want to, this was in my brain, right? So obviously it's not necessarily logical. It's my own thoughts, but you know, people will think, oh, I'm a bad dietitian or, oh, she's a quitter or, oh, cause I was like very young when I got my first role and, oh, she's just a young flaky millennial, you know? And then I just really have matured a lot in the pandemic. And now I care a lot less what other people think, but that was also huge. The how others perceived me was a huge barrier.
And really how we perceive ourselves, because that's what it really is. It's not always how they're actually perceiving us. It's the judgment that we have in our own heads about what a valuable dietitian is and how do we work through that voice.
Yeah. So true. That's spot on.
So now you're out of the job that wasn't fulfilling you. Yes. You're in this freelancing role. I want to hear more about that and what you do. But first, I would love to know, what is freelancing in your opinion?
Okay, sure. So the way that my business and in my business, how I define freelancing, it would be a service or gig, as the freelance terminology calls it, that you offer and you get paid for services rendered, but you're not necessarily a signed on employee for that company that you're doing business with. So in the simplest terms, I think that's what's a freelancer. Somebody has a need, they call in a guy or a gal, you finish it, and then you just move on. Maybe you do recurring work for them in the future, but that's kind of it. That's the whole interaction. Very, very similar to a contractor.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned that a lot of dietitians seem to be freelance writers. That is the experience with freelance that I have as well. In the past, I've written articles for different publications on usually an ongoing basis, but it is more kind of contractual and hit or miss and things like that. What are some other ways that dietitians can freelance?
Yeah, so I'm really fascinated right now on moving more into the digital and tech space, just because I do think that's the future, and getting more RDs online, I think, should be a priority, because as we know, there's lots of misinformation online. So of course, writing can apply to that. But in terms of more tech oriented things, I've been interviewing a lot of RDs who work on like YouTube and YouTube editing, some social media managers who help RDs in private practice build their audience and make sure their reach is going as far as it can. I also am interviewing like a virtual assistant, which is kind of exactly how it sounds. However, I've learned within the virtual assistant umbrella, like they do so much. They all do have like specific roles, which is fascinating. And then also a lot of website design, because now blogging is so, like, everyone's chatting about blogging, right? So a lot of interesting information on how do you actually make those like tech savvy steps to build your blog, because it is even like involving computer coding, which feels like a very foreign language when you've been studying a science dominant practice, right?
Absolutely.
So those are some off the cuff. And then also I'm interviewing a lot of people who freelance, because people do like to counsel and people do like chatting to patients in real life. So I've also been interviewing RDs who freelance their cooking demo skills, or who freelance workshops, or maybe like lunch and learns for corporations. So sky is the limit. Almost anything can be freelanced.
That's amazing. And, you know, I like what you said, that there are some dietitians that do like the client facing role, and it's important to know you can be 100% freelance dietitian, but that's all you do. Yeah. You could also have a business and diversify your income stream and have some freelance projects that you do on the side.
Absolutely. And I think that would be probably, in my experience up to date, that's what I did. Just like the most low risk approach to freelancing. So you do still also have your steady income, but you're also freelancing on the side, seeing if you like it, because you do have to put yourself out there quite a bit, which might feel new for people. So that's a great way to just dip into it. And I think the best part about freelancing is you really get out of it what you put into it. So if you want to take a break for a couple months, like, go ahead, like, it's fine. There's no commitments really, if you haven't got clients signed up. And I think that's very appealing versus sometimes people talk about like a side hustle, which is really like a bit more intensive. In my brain, it is, at least, like, you're really dedicated weekly hours to a side hustle, which just might not appeal for everyone.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, I just got back this past year. I took 6 weeks off of my business for my wedding and honeymoon. And it was a project to figure out, what am I doing with my clients? How am I going to keep up my like audience? And, you know, I'm coming into a launch right after that, so I have to make sure that I'm still nurturing. And if you're in a freelance space, you don't have to do that. You can just be like, no, I'm done. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just going to close down for a little bit and then I'm going to come back. And that sounds pretty appealing.
Appealing. Yeah, absolutely. So it's very interesting too. So last year, I'd say, to be totally honest, the biggest appealing of freelancing was the money, because there is a lot of money to be made in freelancing. And in my position I was in, there was no way you would ever achieve six figures, because it's government funded and you're capped. And I just had it in my brain that like, I need to achieve six figures in my life. And now it's been a year later, I've matured a lot, I've gone within. And honestly, like, this year I've decided, I've really re-changed my relationship with money. And I've just decided, even if I take like 30K this year for my freelance writing, like, I will be thrilled and use the rest of my time to just live my life.
Yes, we get to a place, and I understand we all have bills to pay. We all are in unique situations, and we all have unique relationships with money based on our whole past experience. But time is something that I've become more and more like conscious of, and have come to value more and more. And I want to find that balance for us between not just like constantly chasing money, but creating a life where we have the time to live it on our terms and really make the most of it.
Absolutely. I agree. And for sure, money is not a bad thing. Everyone has their own motives. But I just realized also that this year is the year for Jules, which is me. And I just need to live my life. And I don't have kids at this point. And it just kind of feels like a perfect window, you know, to just indulge and finally allow myself to explore all of these options that I just was too scared to allow myself to do before. So freelancing for that reason, again, it just provides a lot of flexibility. If I change my mind on some months, if I really want to work, I can find work. There's always work online. If I want to dial it back, that's available too.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you've shifted your relationship with money. You've recognized that time is incredibly important to you and that this has been the year of like digging into yourself and really giving yourself space to bloom, for lack of a better term. Are there other things that you've learned about yourself in this time?
Yeah, I have learned that I am incredibly anxious, but simultaneously even more stubborn. So that's what helps me go through those mental barriers and just keep pushing. And so, you know, my partner, bless him, I love him, he's like very well adjusted and manages very little anxiety. So he arrives to the finish line in good shape. I have a lot of mental exhaustion along the way. So I arrive to the finish line and I'm like, I made it, but also don't talk to me for 2 days. And that's like the best way I can describe it. So that's what I've learned about myself. So I've just learned to love it because I am who I am. I'm going to be turning 30 soon. This is me. And I'm just embracing it instead of like challenging it or trying to change.
Yeah. And leaning into it. And that's so refreshing to hear, because we hear so much of like, how do you manage your anxiety? How do you overcome it? How do you like push it down? And there are strategies that are helpful, right? Like we want to learn ways that we can be okay with it, but ultimately this like coexisting with it is such a beautiful place to be.
Yes.
It's something that I've been practicing a lot with fear, because true abundance is not like positive vibes only. It's not like pushing fear and negativity away. It's not pushing anxiety and unpleasant experiences away. It's saying like, you're welcome here too. Come along for the ride. I'm just not going to go down a rabbit hole with you.
Yeah. I love that. Absolutely. All of those parts of like the emotional rainbow we are all meant to feel, the only power also you can control is how you're reacting to them.
Yeah.
Some days is easier, other days it hits you harder. That's like part of the human experience, which I do think is a blessing at this point. Like you've been saying, I've really been changing my outlook and valuing time more and just,
That's amazing. Growth. Yeah. That's amazing. And I love that. And I love having that space for it. It sounds like having a little bit more downtime and not being in that like 9-to-5 hustle all the time allowed you some space to think it over and gain some realizations.
Yeah, big time. I love looking through your content, Jess. I wish I had found you 2 years ago when I was really at my peak spiral, where I was really questioning, you know, should I even be a dietitian? I was completing so many courses because I was also the only RD at my clinic and we have literally 30,000 patients. And I was always completing courses because I felt inadequate. I felt like I never knew enough. And so I see your content and I'm just like, oh, you're doing such important work. And like, thank God you're here. I like love you. It's like amazing.
Thank you. I wish I had discovered me sooner too, to be honest. I could have used me when I was 25, 26, 27, for sure.
So hard.
So I really appreciate that. And I love that you're also kind of coming out here and supporting other dietitians. What do you do to support other dietitians who are interested in this freelancing work?
Yeah. So I'm kind of just getting started. Like I said, because I'm kind of taking more time off for myself than I expected, certain things are getting pushed later in the year. For starters, I have a podcast. It's called the Freelance Dietitian Podcast. I really try to showcase the breadth or the wide scope of freelancing and just get RDs interested. I get a lot of Instagram messages afterwards for tips. So I'm always connecting with people, very happy to chat. I do have an Upwork course planned. It's going to be very low cost because Upwork is a freelancing platform. For those who don't know, you don't go there to make money, but you do go there to just get experience and dip your toes into freelancing. And I'm just of the mindset where if you want to use something, it's in your best interest to know how to use it well. And then of course you decide if you want to go there or not. And then I think one day I would like to do freelance coaching because I do like interacting with folks. But like I said at the beginning, maybe just not 40 hours a week. So if I could find a balance to incorporate that, I think I would be a really happy camper.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And it's so true that we have to get out of that binary black and white thinking of it's not necessarily that you want to never work with a human again or yes. coaching someone again. It's that the extent that you were doing was too much. And as an introvert, I fully agree with that. I don't do well packing my schedule full. I could never see 8 people a day. I never want to get to that point. I max out at like 5 in one day, and I couldn't even do that 5 days a week. So we have to know ourselves, and we have to then figure out what is like the happy balance that is going to work best for us.
For sure. And I'm all about listening to the seasons of your life. And of course, like you mentioned, there is like bills to pay and like real things you have to take care of. But if you can afford the time to retreat a little bit, then just retreat. And if you can afford the time to be more present, like face forward, like you've mentioned, then just go for it and just listen to what your body needs, because there's no rules for being happy. You really do have to be your own captain of that ship and just navigate it the best you can.
So beautifully said. And I was just recording a podcast episode about the cycles that we go through and the cycles mm-hmm. that just the universe goes through, and how we can't be expected to kind of put out this sustained energy 24/7, that we're going to have periods and seasons and months and weeks where we need to rest and slow down and be more introverted. And then there are going to be other times where we have that push and that momentum and that drive to be a little bit more action oriented. And leaning into that ebb and flow is how we really start to honor ourselves and our time.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. For sure. Yeah. Oh,
I absolutely love everything that you're doing. Is there anything else that you want to leave dietitians with who are listening in today?
I think we chatted about quite a bit. I would just say all dietitians are contributing valuable work. And if anybody ever tries to tell you RDs are not valuable, don't listen to them, because that was like my biggest pet peeve so far in the career, is like lots of egos, right? Especially mm-hmm. in healthcare field. So I would just say, just mute them. You are doing amazing stuff. You're a credentialed healthcare professional, and like, you're so capable, and just go for it.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. Now, you mentioned your podcast, you mentioned a few other things. How can people learn more about you, get in touch with you after the fact?
Yes. So my brand is The Freelance Dietitian. So on Instagram, you can find me. It's at freelance.dietitian. My website is also where I post blog and podcast episodes and a bit more about me if you're just curious, freelancedietitian.com.
Excellent. I will absolutely put them in the show notes as always, so you can check those out later if you didn't catch them as we said them. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience and your inspiration with all of us. I absolutely adore it.
Thank you so much, Jess. It's been a blast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoy these episodes, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends. And if you listen on Apple Music, leave a rating and review. This helps the podcast reach more dietitians so that we can really create a collective of dietitians who feel confident and connected, both to their work and each other. You are not alone. And as always, if you're looking for that extra level of support, check out my Empowering Dietitians Supervision Services at www.empoweringdietitians.com/individual-supervision. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/individual-supervision.